The Peace Corps is simplifying its application process in a bid for more recruits. It's also giving volunteers more freedom to choose where they want to serve and what they want to do. The agency hopes to regain its popularity among college graduates. The number of volunteers has steadily dropped over the last few years. Peace Corps Director Carrie Hessler Radelet joins us now to discuss the changes. Carrie, welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be with you.
So first of all, tell us about the changes that you've just announced to the application process.
We've just launched a new application that allows applicants to choose which specific programs and countries they want to apply to. We're listing all of our programs by country, the work area, and the departure date on our website, so there's a lot of transparency, and applicants can browse service opportunities and find the one that's best for them.
So before you applied and you got sent to wherever the Peace Corps needed you and when they wanted you to go?
Exactly. Exactly. Now we know that people have choices now and people want choice, and so we are allowing people to choose if they want to. There's also an option to say, I'll serve wherever I am needed, and our research over the last couple of days has shown that almost half of our applicants are still selecting that.
I was going to say, let's face it, some parts of the world are a little more pleasant than others, and so how do you ensure that 99% of the people don't want to go to some garden spot?
You know, actually, I'm not worried about it because most of our applicants are motivated by service and they want to serve where they're needed. That said, many people have professional goals or personal goals. So, for example, if you already speak Spanish, you may want to serve in a Spanish-speaking country. Or if you've studied health, you want to probably work in a health program. And then some people just have regional interests. I want to serve in Africa. So we're allowing people to express a choice, and we think that it's going to make for motivated volunteers who really own the decision to join Peace Corps, and they'll be excited about it.
And tell us about the motivating factor behind this and the other changes that you're making. We just mentioned that the number of volunteers has been dropping. How do you think this can reverse that trend?
I think that giving people the opportunity to make a choice is going to bring people who were previously fearful that they wouldn't be able to choose, especially those who have very strong professional goals. So we're excited about attracting those people who are very motivated and driven. The application process itself was very long and cumbersome. If you would have printed it out, it would have taken 60 pages of paper, and it took 8 hours to complete. And our current application takes less than 1 hour, and it's all online. It's really easy. It's personalized. It's just a much better user experience.
And what about the selection process made by the Peace Corps? Has that changed? How do you decide who makes it in?
No, we still have a very rigorous interview process. The assessment process is very rigorous, and it's, you know, backed up throughout the whole process. One of the things we've done is we have reduced redundancy in the application process, and we've also streamlined it so that we're not asking for information that is not really needed. So just as an example, we used to ask all applicants to submit a transcript, and now we're only asking those to submit a transcript when their country of service requires it as part of the program.
So tell us a little bit about the people who are serving today in the Peace Corps. First of all, how many are there right now, and what sort of skills do they have vis-a-vis the type of corps that you're trying to build?
Currently, we have about 7,200 volunteers serving in 66 countries. We just 2 weeks ago started a new program in Kosovo, so that's our 66th program. And our volunteers come from all walks of life. They have many different skill areas. We actually work in six sectors, and that's education, health, environment, agriculture, community economic development, and youth development. But our volunteers have a huge range of skills, and we have a fabulous training program that can prepare an English major to become a health volunteer.
And I guess you should probably tell us the age distribution. Is this only for people college age, or do you have people that may be retired and decide to do it?
Absolutely. Our age range is from 20 to 80. The average age is 28, but 10% of our volunteers are 40 plus.
And tell us a little bit about the diversity, the demographics of the Corps today, again, vis-a-vis what you hope to get by making these changes to the application process.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. Diversity is a huge priority for us. We feel strongly that our volunteer corps should reflect the beautiful diversity of our country. Right now, about 8% of our volunteers are over the age of 50, and 24% of our volunteers self-report as members of a minority. But that is not good enough for us. We really want our volunteer corps to reflect our country's demographics, so we're prioritizing that.
And how are you doing that?
We're working closely with universities in order to get more ethnic diversity. So our university partnerships allow us to reach new and diverse communities of prospective applicants. So we work closely with historically black colleges and universities. We work with the Hispanic serving institutions and the tribal colleges and universities. In addition, we partnered with Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity and Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, which are two of the largest African-American Greek letter organizations. And then in terms of getting more age diversity, we have a really wonderful partnership with AARP.
All right, so you get a 10% discount if you join the Peace Corps or something.
Exactly,
is that how that works?
Exactly.
We're speaking with Carrie Hessler-Radlett. She is director of the Peace Corps. And you also have a new partnership with the University of Michigan. Tell us how that works. You're looking at people with graduate degrees.
Absolutely. Actually, we have a wonderful program for people who are interested in graduate school. We have the Master's International Program, which is a program where people can combine graduate school with Peace Corps service. You apply to both, and then you go to graduate school, and then you get some academic credit for serving in the Peace Corps. And then we have the Paul D. Coverdell Fellows Program, which is a program that offers scholarships for volunteers when they return from service. So University of Michigan is one of our great partners. It is the place where Peace Corps was founded, when John F. Kennedy spoke on the steps of the student union when he was just a senator and on the campaign trail.
So you have about 7,200 volunteers serving around the world today. How many more would you like to see, and how many more can your agency reasonably absorb?
Well, our strategic plan calls for 10,000 by 2018, and we can certainly absorb that many. We really think that Peace Corps is the best face of the United States abroad, or certainly one of our better faces, and that's a sentiment that is echoed by ambassadors and host country nationals alike. So we feel like it's a great program for the American people, and we would like to increase our numbers.
Over the decades, does the Peace Corps have an idea of how volunteerism has fluctuated depending on the world situation? Because right now, things don't look all that stable pretty much on any continent you care to point at.
You know, Americans are really very generous people, and they volunteer a lot, I think more than most countries, I would venture to say. And we know that the people who apply for Peace Corps, and especially those who serve, are twice as likely to volunteer when they return as the average American. So I think people who are drawn to service are drawn to Peace Corps, and what we've seen is that means a continued life of service.
Why do you think the number, though, of people who have been applying to the Peace Corps has been dropping?
There are two factors associated with our lower numbers. The first is the number of volunteers that we can support with our budget. We're very budget-driven. We're a U.S. government program. In 2010, we had our highest budget year ever, and so we were able to really ramp up both the number of volunteers and our recruitment efforts to support those higher numbers. And then we had the sequester and what have you. We lost nearly $50 million worth of funding. We are budget sensitive, so we had to reduce the number of volunteers that we supported, and we at the same time had to reduce our recruitment efforts. But the other thing is that this is part of a planned strategic process that began in 2010 to increase the effectiveness and efficiency and the quality of our support for volunteers at all levels. And so starting in 2010, we have a planned strategic process that really focused first on the quality of our support for volunteers. And once we had that foundation in place, now we're really ready to ramp up our application numbers.
A big part of that quality of support was security, because there were some pretty lurid incidents involving volunteers, particularly female ones. How have you fixed that, or have you gotten a process in place to start fixing it?
Absolutely. In fact, that's been the area of greatest reform over the last couple of years. as a mother, as a returned Peace Corps volunteer, as a public health professional, that is my background, and as a sexual assault survivor myself, it's something that I care deeply about. I probably spend most of my time on health and safety of our volunteers in terms of my own personal time. And we have done so much over the last few years to improve the quality of our support to volunteers. We have hired experts to help us to craft programs that are really state of the art. We have a sexual assault advisory council that is comprised of our nation's leading experts in this area. We have brand new training to help volunteers reduce risk and support each other, recognizing, of course, that sexual assault is always the responsibility of the perpetrator, but there are things that people can do to reduce their risks. And then we've really ramped up our training of our own staff so they can really effectively respond to bad things when they happen.
And what are some of the other aspects of volunteer support? Because people are volunteers, so you don't pay them, but what support do they get when they're in a country, say Kosovo?
Yeah, so they first of all, they get a living allowance. So we take care of everything. You can literally enter Peace Corps broke. And
that's probably how I would go in.
Exactly. It's how most of our volunteers go in. That's how I went in, for sure. But you get, you know, your transportation, your living allowance, so it allows you to live like a citizen of that country. You have all your medical care, of course. And then for every month that you serve, you get what we call a readjustment allowance, which if you serve for 24 months, which is the standard service after your 10-week training, then you would emerge with about $7,500 in your pocket. So that's a great benefit.
And you mentioned that you are trying to bring this message of the benefits of the Peace Corps to new places that you haven't had, the agency hasn't had a strong relationship with before, like historically Black colleges and universities. When you go in and meet people there who perhaps don't know a lot about the Peace Corps, how do you sell it, and what's their reaction nowadays?
You know, it really, the program sells itself. It's such a great benefit in terms of the job market. I mean, people right now are very concerned about jobs. And as we know, our world is increasingly interconnected and complex, and employers are looking for people who speak other languages, can manage multicultural teams, are great problem solvers. Those are things that Peace Corps volunteers have in spades. So once you let people know about the benefits of Peace Corps, the fact that they'll be learning another language, that they'll be trained very specifically in skills that are needed in today's job markets, that we have a very strong program to help people reintegrate when they come back. So we have a jobs program that's really fantastic. We have non-competitive eligibility for federal service. So if people want to get into the government, they have 1 year of non-competitive eligibility, which really catapults them to the front of the hiring list. So there are so many benefits of Peace Corps that it's not very hard to sell, actually.
All right, so 10,000 in another couple of years.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll have you back and see how that's going.
Wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Carrie Hessler-Radlett is director of the Peace Corps, and we thank you for joining us.
Thank you.